guys, welcome back to the What Could Have Been podcast, or the Where Should Have Not Am podcast.
Yeah, brilliant.
Nice.
Nice.
Not to confuse anyone.
Watch this scene, mate. Watch this scene. Big things coming.
What are we on, episode 7? 6?
6.
6.
There's chapters, man. We got some bloody...
Chapters.
Mate, he's new here. Give him a break. He's finding his feet.
Yeah, mate. Bloody on his head at this point.
Yeah, but you better find him fast.
Let's find him now.
He's new and he won't be getting old.
He'll be going home in a dustbin.
Oh, yeah, good one.
Oh, yeah, what would be the worst way to be found on your doorstep? Alive.
Oh.
I'll put for that me, in. Wrapped in tinfoil. I've got a rational fear of tinfoil.
Have you? Okay. Good to know that. Shouldn't have told us that.
I'm getting better at it. I've honestly meditated with tinfoil in my hands before.
How's this only just coming up? How have we never... I mean, it's not something you're gonna.
I'm just more
it's not
open.
Something you're gonna share, is it? Right. Sat in a kitchen, like, get heart rate increasing because of the roll of tinfoil. And I say, like, guys, I've got something to tell you.
I'll put tinfoil around your dick when you're sleeping, boy.
Yeah.
Well, why is Owen getting sweaty, mate? You got a tinfoil out again. What are you doing?
I'm gonna make you a blazer out of tinfoil.
Ah,
I am gonna make you a tinfoil outfit. You are gonna be the tin man, and it's gonna
the
be
tin man.
It's going to be just tinfoil everywhere.
But you've got a big heart, or is it a brain?
A big heart. I'm
it's just a big cock.
Heart,
like.
Big tinfoil cock. but what is it? Not to get into a therapy session.
Yeah,
but.
Well, what it is I whenever I see it, I picture it being my mouth and me chewing it, and then I hear, like, grating metal noises in my head.
That's interesting. Yeah. Especially because your new music video... You're wearing a completely shiny reflective tinfoil.
It's true, that's quite tinfoil. But that's a good point, and maybe I won't watch that video again. Nobody watched my video. We're going to change it now.
We're going to actually have to experiment with this at some point.
We don't have to do that.
That's very ominous.
That's like seeing
insidious.
Somebody in a wheelchair and be like, let's experiment with just removing
the wheelchair. No, it's not.
It's like there's no need. You just know that they're
not
anywhere.
No.
You know they're going to have a bad time. I'll have a bad time.
Well, it's exposure therapy, isn't it?
What's the experiment? No, it's not. We've heard your therapy ideas before.
They were good, man.
They were good. I'm sure my friends will be better off with my therapy ideas. And your exposure therapy, mate. I was just going to increasingly make you more and more clothes out of tinfoil and insist...
But that wouldn't even be even if I didn't have a fear of tinfoil, I wouldn't want to wear.
I'm not going to like make them designer and you have to wear them all the time. But it's like just each week, you've got to send a photo of you wearing the assortment. So I'll send you a sock 1 week, and then the next week I'll send you the second sock, and then after that I'll send you individual digits,
then some hair.
Better yet, I might make a risotto with just like little bits of tinfoil in it.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
I'm gonna make like a falafel, but in the center it's just like little balls of tinfoil with the falafel around.
Don't
the
come on, that's
minging. Like,
there's boundaries, and you've stepped over them.
Yeah,
but then it's more. You're never gonna trust my cooking again.
I never.
This
did.
This seems more of a like shooting yourself in the foot here, really.
What? How so?
You're good advertising for your therapy,
I will make you hate me.
Exposure therapy,
me at all.
Mate.
And I'll poison you.
No, I'm not going to poison you. I mean, there's no poison in tinfoil. Well, arguably.
There is actually people who've... I remember reading in Guinness Book of World Records there was somebody who ate a plane like over 10 years or something.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. Yeah, man. Okay. So you're going to eat a roll of tinfoil over a week?
I'm going to eat Danny.
Oh, yeah? Ooh, don't tempt me with a good time.
Yeah.
What part are you going to eat first?
Hit me out for dinner, Danny.
Danny's big scheme all along.
Eat me, baby.
Right, should we kick it off with my question?
After that, yeah.
All right, so what I'm doing, I'm thinking, what could have been if you could purchase more life indefinitely?
Right. Yeah, because we had a similar one to this sort of, didn't we? We've touched on this, I think, but we've never just had the whole scheme of
the economic strategy
forever.
Like.
So, like, I think having the parameters of indefinitely really makes this interesting.
All right, then. Well, can you buy aging backwards? Like, as in, can you buy youthful cells, or do you just not continue? Like, do you just persist in life? Like, if say if I was 80 and I wanted to live to 150, do I still age until 150?
Oh, that's a good point. Like, have we just not seen?
That's what I mean. Like, what looks like. I can buy more life.
People just keep shriveling.
But like
pruning.
See, if I got cancer, but I'd purchase like 40 years of life. Do I then just have to live for 40 years?
Mutating? I reckon you can still die from like. So it's like you can't die unless something else kills you. You what? Know, kind of like lobsters. So like. As long as if you didn't have any like diseases or you didn't get hit by a car, you'll kind of just keep cracking on. But like if you got cancer, you'd probably die. If
it was right, okay. So you've still got to deal with issues in the same way that we have, like diseases.
Yeah.
But if you live in, you know, you're doing what, a marathon every 2 days. If you live in laughing and loving,
live spaff.
Yeah.
Then you're chilling. Spiff spaff spuff.
Yeah.
I love those three Coco Pop.
Spiff spaff and spuff.
Kellogg's
and
favorite.
I was also considering like, what if it's there's not like a company you get these from? What if it's people can sell their own years of life maybe onto the market?
No, because that'd just be there'd just be a whole human breeding scheme, man. Because then you'd just like you'd just buy a baby off someone and like take its years and give it to a rich person and then ditch the baby and let it die at like 5 years old.
Oh god, yeah.
It would take like organ harvesting to you.
Yeah, it'd be life harvesting and.
You get maybe people like gambling away with years of their life, hoping that they'll win big. They go to like the blackjack, and they bet 10 years and hope that they'll win like thousands.
Well, like again, do we age though? Or do we just reach a certain point and continue?
I quite like the idea of you continue to shrivel.
Like, what the hell would a 1,000-year-old look like?
Oh, yeah. Or maybe people would start pickling themselves. Throwback to last episode.
There's a certain tipping point where our bodies then just like aren't able to produce enough cells that as we degrade, surely.
Well, no, that's what we're getting rid of is the expiration.
So there's basically an asymptote and you just get closer and closer to it, but you never ever touch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it just adds more layers to our telomeres.
They just get shorter and shorter, but like you never get quite as close to the DNA.
Yeah, it's like infinitely
smaller. Yeah, it's like that like the mathematical conundrum of.
Yeah, I suppose that would be motivation for people not to just live forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are we saying that it doesn't actively add? Are we saying it actively adds to the telomeres, or it just
No. Basically, the telomeres. That's what I was leading on to. It's a mathematical conundrum. If you are 100 meters away from somewhere and you keep walking half the distance, so 50, then 25, then 12.5, you're never gonna get there. You're gonna be infinitely close to it, but you're never gonna get there. So are we saying that's what happens to our telomeres or telomeres, whatever you want to say?
I reckon so.
Nanoparticles,
mate. Literally, like starts happening. Down to the quarks, mate. They're just slowly, slowly deteriorating.
Yeah, but there'd probably still be some like egomaniacs who would just keep going. Like, which historical figures do you reckon would just be shriveling up? Henry VIII.
Henry VIII. Sure.
How many wives do you reckon he'd be on by now?
I don't know. Yeah, would he still be in power?
I don't know what he'd be capable of. Like,
monarchs would continue, wouldn't they?
He'd be like a washed-up celebrity. He'd be gone like, he'd be like on
Henry the 8,000th.
What about neuro?
Henry the
Infinite.
What
happened to neurodegenerative diseases?
I think the market would be a lot. Well, not that it's not already massive. Obviously, there's so much research into stuff like that, but I think that would be such a key thing because rich people would be funding that so much because rich people would be the ones who are living to the longest. So they'd be the ones pumping money into that, so I think that it would be accelerated. So yeah, things like preventing wrinkles, preventing
degenerative
diseases, because there would be such a like the 1% would all just be so in
that, yeah, because so, if you've got all your other resources met, you could dedicate more time to just existing longer.
There'd be a lot of interesting advancements in biology to like reverse aging or like at least cell regeneration and muscle structure. So there'd be a lot. I don't think physics would have been the big science to receive funding. I think it would be biology. I think it is biology at the moment, actually. Do a degree. What's that thing called? We should all know this. I've completely forgotten. I've remembered. CRISPR.
CRISPR.
The way you're able to...
CRISPR-Cas9.
The way you're able to technically reprogram cells or reprogram certain things. Like, if we're... The development from... The small development that's occurred from that has been a massive, massive flourish of information in biology. So I think that would receive a lot of the funding at the moment, just so there could be programmed genetic mutations.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because you've got this whole kind of craze right now. I forgot what the name of them is, but all the people that are trying to extend their life, they've got this name for them, but I don't know what it is. Yeah, for like the movement of people who are like, there's all that stuff like bullet coffees, the people that drink like butter, and they put like unsalted butter because like all the fats are good for in their coffee. And sit in infrared beds and they're obsessed with trying to live for as long as possible. So there's all these health crazes.
They waste their whole life trying to get more life.
Yeah, but they forget to live.
Yeah.
God, yeah, man.
Spend your present chasing a future present.
Less living, living, you know?
Yeah.
Do you reckon people would donate? Do you reckon you could have, like, life year bank accounts for people to set up for kids? Like ISA. That's life savings, actually.
All right, okay. This is a pretty dark thought. Imagine you're on the ICU, so the intensive care unit of the paternity ward, and there's a lot of sick children, but they've got a bank of like 50, 60, 70 years because they're just never going to be able to do it because they've got cancer or they've got like a disease that they're going to die.
Yeah.
Would people be trying to convince those children to donate organ donations? Would it be like time donations, like age donations? Like, you're going to die. You've got an incurable disease, but you've got 80 years.
So people can sign like a waiver to be like, oh, when I get to a certain level.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about just the kids, because like...
But I mean, yeah, that's bringing into argument the whole quality versus quantity of life.
No, but like, as in they've got a disease that they're going to die, like they've got a terminal disease.
Yeah, but just so you're asking, like, as a society, would we morally allow for their death? Like the whole kind of arguments around euthanasia.
Oh, I'm saying, if you had a kid right now, man,
would we? Do you think? So you're saying, as a society, you think that we'd condone the euthanasia of these terminally ill?
No, but it's not. No, not at all. No. You're taking it. I'm not asking them to die or like saying we're going to humanely kill you. They're going to die. Like they have received that they're going to die. They've received the condition that they are terminal. They've got a text from the Jesus himself.
Some big
that is you're gonna you're gonna yeah you're
sorry
gonna
lad
yeah
in 2 weeks
it's over lol.
Pat your bag, you've pulled
giz your years.
But like you're gonna die in 2 weeks, like there's no way out of this. They're unable to move out the boat.
But then would you have years left?
Well, surely, because you just said like I'm going off what you said before. You could have years stockpile, but then if you got hit by a car or you got cancer, then you're going to die anyway. So it's like...
True. I guess, how are we extracting these years also? Have we got little intravenously floppy bots who just...
I think just...
You got super sucky syringes.
Do you have to physically pass them over?
You just
got
to meditate with each other and then just sort of like bump fists or like touch foreheads or something.
Just respect for an hour and just be like,
here you go, bro, have my years.
Yo, he's 15, bro. You've got to do the sick session.
The hair connection.
Like an avatar.
Which kind of makes the whole kind of, if someone's going through chemo, would make that kind of difficult. So maybe it kind of creates kind of...
All right, this is just kind of really dark. Kind of you've got to like wrap your hair around each other to transfer life, and you're talking people with cancer would be like, well, can't do that anymore.
You just brought up kids.
Yeah, I know, but I was talking about would we be a manipulative, or at least would... say if you guys had a kid now, and say if you had two kids, yeah, one was going to die, and you were like, well, let's just make them give the other kid some years, because like then the kid that is going to survive anyway is going to have more years than they know what to do with.
So yeah, but then you're making the whole argument of whose life is worth more.
No, I'm not, because one is going to die anyway. I'm not saying that. Like, this is what...
yes, but yeah, but you're not getting it. Jesus Christ. Yeah, but then they've got 2 weeks, so their 2 weeks is less.
No, you let them have the 2 weeks. Perfect. I'm not saying let's fucking kill yourself now for the like they've got. They're going to die in 2 weeks, but they've got 50 years.
You ask him for the excess.
Yeah, I'm not asking him to fucking.
But they don't have the. But the whole. Oh, you're implying that they have the excess, even though they're going to die anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying, based off what Owen was talking about. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Owen was like, unless you get an illness or you get hit by a car or like some disaster kills you, you know you're going to live to X amount of time, unless variable Y takes you first. So if you know that variable Y is going to take them, but you've got until X amount of time, you split the difference and give the other person the what's in between the two variables.
Yeah, okay, but how about, so when variable Y comes into play, does that not then eliminate the bank that they've already accrued?
Well, it depends. I don't think so.
So argument, is the bank exclusive from the events of variable
Y? No, because then
Y?
At that point, like if you had a way of checking how many years you had left, and say you had looked at and you had 50 years, and then before you had been diagnosed with any sort of illness, then you checked and you're like, you've got 3 years, you'd be like, what the fuck, what's gone on there? I feel totally fine. Like, there's...
Like you, so basically, you can leave years in your will in the same way.
This, well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if you've got if you're gonna die,
yeah, I'm sure that'll be fine then.
No, I get that. I get that, but I completely understand that. But I'm saying that I feel like the years that you have bought would be nullified by the fact of getting this terminal illness.
Mm. No, but like, all right, well, say I don't.
It gets wiped.
I don't think they would though, because like.
If they don't, then let them pass them on. If they do, then yeah, like, buddy.
But you'd get the Karens and stuff that'd be like, no, well, I bought these, so no one else.
You're there for my child.
Technically,
they're gonna live for that amount of time in the afterlife.
Do you reckon people would have less kids then? Do you think they would just invest more?
Or maybe more though, because then you could have the whole idea of
you could harvest it, mate. I think there'd be a whole
kids, the idea of having kids now is the idea of the woman having to kind of sees her career progression and stuff like that. That is a main factor for when children are born within a family.
Yeah.
So if then you don't have this kind of overarching, such a prevalent threat of the, oh, I'm aging, you can extend it, then maybe people will be like, oh, fuck, I can have kids now.
Yeah, but I don't think it's terminate. I don't,
and then you can crack into the career.
It doesn't slow down the natural processes of human life, though. Like, you may be able to live to 150, but you're still going to go through menopause at the same rate you would if you were going to die at 60. Mm.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I think there would be investment in stuff like that.
Well, yeah, if we talk about the CRISPR analysis and, like, further development into, like, prolonging the human function.
Or freezing eggs and sperm.
Yeah,
like, I think,
but then it'd be a lot of taxing on your body, even if you had eggs and sperm frozen, and you were like, well, we've still got, what, 70 years left, and we're now 70, so we could be 140. Let's have a kid. But like, would you really want to raise a kid at 70?
Could it be a situation like The Handmaid's Tale, where there are, so obviously that's a lot more dystopian.
I don't know what it is.
That's to a fucking, so basically, like, there's only certain women that can reproduce and this and that, and
they're basically state-owned and handed around to the most, like, powerful men to
raise their children. They're basically using this tool, and yeah, no, that's very dystopian, but would there be a less dystopian form of a... It could be a legitimate job.
But what, we're having kids?
You kind of... As a young person, you
a surrogate? Kind of like, it might be trendy to be a surrogate when you're younger. Like, that's what you do when you've got your young years, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're living to, like, what, 150, 200, yeah, maybe our view of, like, middle-aged and your 20s is all expanding.
Yeah, your middle-aged could be, like, late 50s.
Yeah. 70.
Yeah.
Although that's assuming that everyone can afford it, because there's probably the same with wealth.
Yeah, it's not going to be cheap, is it?
You know, certain people who can. You might get like a little life.
Yeah, how are we paying for this?
That's what I was saying. We haven't really talked about the kind of.
How much does it cost for a year? Like, can I buy 5 extra minutes? Can I buy. I go 2 for 1 on like 50 more days?
Yeah, but can you collect vouchers?
Yeah, no. Is it going to get like fucking Hunger Games or Squid Games, or just the government throwing out vouchers of life to people and then having them fight?
How much do you think a year of life is
365
worth?
365 days.
That's what I mean. Who the person giving out the organization or the body, do they determine? Because then there could be some kind of...
Have you ever watched Shaolin Showdown? Racial... We talked about cartoons last week.
Is that the... The dude with the
there was a
dot on his head.
Basically, you've got to touch, I think it's called a Wing Chong Wu, or Wing Chong Hu, an item that has magical power. So the way I'm thinking here, we could transfer life.
I think the Wing Chong Wu should be part of this.
I like it.
I like the guy.
Well, basically, if we have like an item where people can like put their years in a specific item, And the only way you can extract them is if you agree to the terms that they stated when they put their years into it. You know what I mean?
Oh, so well, are we going more down the direction of it's actually these years have to come from someone else rather than there's this external thing that generates years?
It's your world, but that's the way I was going then, yeah.
Okay, so there's like a finite number of years and people can donate them or sell them and pass them around to
the
loved ones.
So this is a giant Ponzi scheme.
Yeah,
it's
a pyramid multi-level,
it's multi-level marketing, but with a knife. That would definitely promote the whole idea of kind of human farming, life farming.
Yeah, sure. but the thing is,
like, people be like, well, we need more people.
But
to
it
have
puts the power into the holder's perspective, into the holder.
They can choose how much they.
Yeah,
sell
like
for,
if you
well, ostensibly,
a baby can't. A baby's not gonna like accidentally put all their years into like one of their toys because. They're not gonna act.
It's gotta maybe it's gotta be consensual.
So I mean that they can't think that way. They can't be like it's something you've gotta like learn. It's a skill, or this is what I'm thinking anyway.
You get a little Wung Chu Bong that grows on your forehead hair when you turn 18, and then you can transfer all your years.
Just plug it in like a USB.
Mom, it just grew.
Mom, is this normal? It's grown.
I'm gonna give Gary 10 minutes just to try it out.
You end up giving him 100.
Yeah, you just get out on the piss one night and accidentally transfer like 78 years to a random geezer.
It's fuck. He killed himself. Fuck.
Oh, I spent so much last night.
Nah, that'd be ruthless, actually.
Yeah,
you
feel like a prune.
I feel 100 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
How long would
Me?
You want to live for then?
I don't know. 25 years has been long enough. Really. No,
it's dragging a bit.
Gives your excess, like.
They were called Shengong.
You're close.
Sorry, I've just been.
We don't want copyright. So we'll go with
Xingdong Du.
Yeah, but I think
100 would be a nice age for me.
Yeah, exactly. Depending on that, like, do you want to live that long? It seems a bit. Shit.
Yeah,
I suppose though, like one of the main things that is, you could kind of plan though, couldn't you? Like, do you know kind of the saddest part about growing old is everyone dying around you? You could plan with all your mates, be like, fuck, book in 102, and then we'll all go out together.
We'll
like,
be send off.
Schedule.
We're all going to hire a boat.
Yeah.
Nah, because I imagine hiring a boat, imagine that you got to show them that you've got, like, at least, if you've got, you want to hire something for a week or a month, you've got to show them that you've got more than that time left because you're like, ooh, we're not dealing with this again, mate.
Yeah, so we have to go out to the middle of the fucking ocean, pick up
age passports.
Obviously.
Age passports. Yeah, a little life card. A little digital life card.
Yeah, just to prove that you'll survive this aeroplane.
That'd be a
ride.
Grim reminder, though, looking at that every time, be like, oh, fuck. 30 years, 29 years, and 355 days. Fucking. Like, just constantly counting down. It would be a bit. But I don't know. Yeah,
I think you would get people who were paranoid, drastic. Though. Like, if it did drop, like you said, like when you got an illness or like if you're about to die, if you're all of a sudden your years left drop really quick because there was an imminent threat.
Do you reckon people could hack your bank account?
Yeah, probably.
And do you think you get interest if you stick with the same bank?
Why is it a banking system? Why are we using banks?
Because I said
I don't
so.
Think we should be using banks in this modern society.
Where are you storing your years? Just
in yeah,
your,
mate.
You are
in my
bank.
Cock.
We're going to insure your cock. Mate, this is worth 100 years, this.
Nah, mate, I've got a few in my big toe, one in my left nostril, a few in one of my eyebrow hairs, but it keeps going a bit rogue.
And so that just gets pulled out, you've lost a year.
Yeah, somebody would just steal your toe, like, and eat it. Maybe if you eat people's body parts, they keep it and you steal
God,
it.
God, Jesus.
Well, now I was turning a cannibal.
And I was going to eat you, Danny.
Oh, you were, mate. Eat me any day, baby.
Do you know how in like certain religions or cultures, they have different ways of, you know...
Fornicating.
Honouring the dead? like some cultures, like in Mexico, they kind of present the dead body, this and that.
Yeah.
In this world, could you...
Eat it.
Assuming now we're all cannibals... Yeah, you lay out your dead relative and you
consume them. So they live
that,
on
that,
it.
That'd be so weird because then there would be... It just adds an extra layer to this human trafficking thing, which slightly going on at the moment in terms of adrenochrome, if you believe in that shit. But like, yeah, like...
What?
Adrenochrome. adrenochrome. Whatever you want to call it.
A what?
Oh, it's just not something to go into right now.
There's plenty of other real human trafficking things.
Yeah, well, you can talk about this off off air, as it were.
Okay. But yeah, tour, shall we wrap that one up then?
Yeah, shall we shimmy on to... is it you, Daddy?
With our little cannibal world.
Yeah. What was my... oh, yeah. What could have been if we were one...
Where is she?
Where is she? Let her go! well, that's definitely Spike the Mike. Spike the Mikey. Spike the Mikey on his trikey.
Greg's best confectionery.
The bit of a boy.
Mikey. Shout out to the OGs that know it's the Spiky Mikey, not the novelty star.
No, yeah. Right, left. Right, what could have been if there was no countries, it was just one big global civilization? That's what I'm thinking. No borders, none of that shit. Don't need no passport either, because you can just do what you want. You're all one big global entity. You don't necessarily speak the same language. You might have to have a bit of a different dialect or a different language going on. Like, as in, imagine right now, the world the way it is, just look at a map and rub out all the borders and then just put the world like written over the top of it.
Okay. I mean, this hurts my head a little bit. Because I was thinking, you've answered my first question that I was going to have, was, is this a homogenous culture with a homogenous language? But no. So it's basically just like, what we had with the EU, free movement of people.
Yeah.
You can do whatever.
You want.
Yeah.
One currency.
Ooh, one currency, that's risky.
Ideally one currency, yeah. It would work better. Like, okay, so obviously the reason I say different languages is because we're not going to be able to like convince everybody to learn one language right now. Mm-hmm. But let's say this global entity had been around for a little while, so we were moderated under the same laws. And we did have like the same currency or the same global currency, or at least there was a method of easily using your own currency in every environment. Like, say if you had say if you had a card, because the other thing is you're gonna have to have the same currency, because you can't be from like a currency from Argentina and currency from India, because
where would the
whole world like we've just got rid of the borders, so
you'd have to have one currency the same way.
I think, yeah. Well, we could have, going back to the language for 1 second, shout out to episode 5. If everyone had the universal sign
chapter
language.
Chapter 5, man. Everyone knew we can't convince episode. You guys. We can't convince our audience,
Chapter 5. Yeah, if everyone had the universal sign language, that would be very useful, obviously. Something like that, I think, would definitely be harboured and very much promoted, something like that. And I think sign language would be quite a useful...
I think it would be very, very, very required.
Yeah, quite a natural one to do as well, because everyone's... well, okay, not everyone. Sorry, not everyone's got all the body parts, but most people have, you know, two hands. Or at least one hand. You can still do some kind of form of this and that. But with the currency, I was thinking, would there be less exploitation of people? Because obviously in the kind of current capitalistic world, you can exploit other people's weaker economies, other countries' weaker
yeah,
economies
resources.
For their resources and stuff. But if you haven't got that monetary, economical
incentive,
leverage
yeah.
With having the more powerful economy, would we be in a less capitalistic society?
Mm. Or, I think it probably would have to be slightly more socialist, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have to, in order to stop it breaking into civil war all the time, you're going to have really strong incentives for people to follow these same laws.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'd be a little bit less racism as well. Because
we hope.
Well, not, as in only based on the country you're from. Skin colour and all that stuff would still happen.
Oh, so there wouldn't be as much like nationalism.
That's the word. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't have people's...
Xenophobia.
You wouldn't be able to. Like, you're all from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the same way, it's like, even if you're from the same place, like even in England, if you go from like, you know, if you go from Newcastle down to London or something, you're still going to have people who have no idea what the crack is up there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that'll be expanded still, wouldn't it?
Northern.
Fucking Northern.
Yeah.
What's our there?
Yeah. Do you reckon we'd be a bit racist based on like global coordinates instead of country? you're from past, like the 0.5 and 2, 3, 2.
Yeah, people will find any reason to separate.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
People love to have little tribes.
Just because you're scared of... Yeah, yeah. Because, you know,
fear. You're from a higher latitude than me.
People fear
change. But do you not think everyone would... If everyone can move so freely, would there be more of... There already is a concentration of people in the more kind of prosperous... in the terms of resources, prosperous areas.
Yeah.
But do you think there would be an even bigger concentration? Because people don't...
I think public transport would be way better. So it would probably be easier to move around these countries. There'd probably be way more developed plane and train systems between countries. Visas. So
you could get like the bullet train all the way through. All the way through Europe.
I think people would be proud of where they're from still. Like you'd say they have this nationalism or... The way that people would be like, my grandpappy's been a farmer on this land forever. Like, would you still have that idea, or would they be allowed to like freedom, or would you reckon people would be more inclined to have freedom of movement in the sense of,
yeah, maybe
rather than being like, oh, we have to remain in this state because this is where we grew up, it's like, well, we can still do this thing in a different location. So the way you're talking about things being less exploitative, I think they would and wouldn't be. Like, I think we'd dedicate huge ass areas to like farming. And rather than it be like, oh, we've got to buy this land or we've got to do it to this farmer, you can just be like, we're doing it here. Like, we could, like, this isn't your, like, we could just take this as a compulsory purchase order. Like, this area is now what the whole world is going to do for farming.
What? Are you talking about the idea of, like, the communist idea of there shouldn't be any private property? Like, everything should be public domain.
Well, in a sense, but, like, it's all one country, isn't it? So, yeah. You can then argue that you'd just be able to take over a landmass like the size of Argentina, or like say Venezuela and Colombia. You wouldn't have to try and move these Venezuelan and Colombians and be like, well, you need to go to a different country. You can just shift them and be like, well, now you...
But can you shift them though? Because they're still... these people will still be like, no, well, we live here. You can't just move us. Just because they're not part of a country.
No, but like... I'm not saying it'd be easy, but like... It'd be easier than being like, right, we've got to translocate like the entire country of Venezuela.
Well, so you're talking about having a dictator.
what kind of a leader are we expecting? Are we
wanting I'd be in charge.
Or are you going to
be... I'd be the fucking king. Yeah, I mean, because looking...
Punching horses.
I mean, I think we'd have a lot of problems. Realistically, we'd have a lot of problems. Looking at the UN and stuff.
Looking at Yemen, for instance. Somalia. Syria. And dare I say Ukraine. Like, everyone's rabbit on about that, but like, all these other ones are like, over the years, just like, well, you know.
But that is...
Although, speaking of that, the mass emigration from Ukraine would be a lot easier.
Mass emigration from everywhere, kind of mate. Yeah, but like...
Yeah, because if there was like a war happening in part of the world, then people would be way easier. It would be easier for them to freely move and translocate to a safer place.
Yeah.
Which is such a big obstacle in our current world.
Definitely is. Well, it didn't used to be when we could move everywhere in the EU. But we're in a kind of very oversimplifying it, so I'm going to tread carefully. But the whole what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Yemen, a lot of it is to do with sovereignty. Obviously, that kind of comes from resources and XYZ, but the idea is, oh no, it's our... We own this land. We have the rights. We have the ancestral rights to this land, so we're going to come in that. So maybe, I mean, there probably still would be, realistically, but we can hope that if it was one massive world, there wouldn't be this kind of motivation of, oh no, what my fucking granddad used to live here, so we actually are going to come and invade.
Yeah.
Is it really about sovereignty in Yemen? Is that what's going on?
Well, I think it's about many things.
Yeah, let's not dig.
Little interlude from my brother.
Nice.
But yeah, what were we saying?
People do question the effect. But I don't think we should.
Yemen. I mean, that's all Ethiopia. Or there's a lot of stuff happening in Brazil.
Or China. That's not half the world. Yeah.
But let's try and keep it light, although they are very important issues.
Well, that's what I mean. I feel like, would these things still happen?
I think so. But I think maybe people would have more pride of themselves. Like, rather than being like, oh, I'm from this country, so I'm proud of this, it would be more like, oh, my family has achieved this, my family have done... Talking about the farming thing, I'm proud that my town or my family have been able to do this farming, rather than being like, purely by the fact that I live in England, I'm proud.
Well, do you reckon there'd still be issues like the Israel and Palestine issue at the moment? Because you wouldn't be giving land back to anyone. Like, there wouldn't be then a claim on certain areas, like, because you'll all be free to move around however you want. within that. There wouldn't be claim to any of it. Like, you know what I mean?
You would
hope. I think realistically, it would just change form in a way, wouldn't it? It's like, if the notion of countries never existed, then we would have created new.
There'd be tribes. Like, there'd be separate tribes, wouldn't there? Like, there'd be different.
Yeah, the same way that tribes fought each other in North America before.
Yeah, Columbus, I guess so.
It doesn't really make a difference. Like, people are going to always find a
reason. We'd have groups of people want to
pillage.
We'd have gangs instead.
Yeah, it's like it could be just like what fucking colour hat you wear.
Yeah, mate, it's anything. The Bloods, the Crips, people love it. The Nips, the Slips.
Yeah, that's a good point. Gangs, mate, like,
I reckon so.
I mean, yeah, we talk about this all the time.
Oh, mate, religion might take
in season one. Religion tribalism.
Sorry, Matt. You go ahead. But I was going to
talk about the tribalism. Tribalism always comes up in these podcasts, doesn't it?
It's because it's like the most foundational part of human society, yeah, isn't it?
The idea of having an identity.
Me fighting you. I was going to say, religion might take priority in ways people then associate themselves rather than be like, I'm from England, or I'm from Spain, or I'm from Yemen. It's more like...
Well, we're also... It could even be a state mandatory religion, because we're all assuming that this is going to be a world which is kind of like England in a way, but it might not be secular.
Mm-hmm.
It might be like that you're expected within this nation to be part of one religion.
One religion, one collective,
like rather than so all other religions weren't allowed, it has to be one specific religion.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
which is the case in a lot of countries.
It could either be a horrible dictatorship where everything is ruled by an iron fist and...
small minorities get demolished in order to fit the masses.
Or we can hope that everyone gets along.
Yeah. Everyone will be on fucking space hoppers and eating bacon sarnies.
Yeah, fucking bacon butties. Like,
bacon butties and bouncing on the moon.
That's it forever. And if you don't like it, you're...
Do you reckon, actually, talking of the moon... Like, things like space innovation came from competition between countries, Russia and America. Do you think there'll be, in a way, there'll be less innovations because there's a slightly decreased competition?
Well, not necessarily. It depends, because from the previous topic, that's why I said I reckon innovations like that wouldn't have occurred as much because it would be biology-based. I feel like, similarly with this, I don't know... I don't think it'd be physics, but I reckon it would be biology or chemistry that got a lot of development instead. Because if we've got global access to anywhere in the world, there'd probably be a lot of mining, a lot of... it'd be like geophysics, so you can hit a fucking mountain, for instance, and then track the vibrations and look for the specific ores. I think there'd be a lot of innovation in terms of chemistry and, like,
infrastructure. I think I'd argue that is heavily physics.
I mean,
using shockwave and sound waves.
That is physics.
Everything's physics, really. Well,
based around the desire to find minerals and ores and stuff and use them for development of new things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Physics, chemistry, biology. There'd be a lot. I think you'd still innovate.
Yeah, so if all... I mean, yeah, if all of it was going into one big pot, so say rather than a country invading... Africa, say, invading Africa to exploit the natural resources found in there, a lot of metals and things like that. Rather than that, people would just extract it, and it would, say if it was a more socialist state, then it would just go into the big pot and then that would get redistributed around. Rather than a country being like, fuck, we need to take over Chad and get all
fake a war so we can get all the oil.
Yeah, or something like that. It'd be more like, well, we don't need the fight. It's all part of the same thing. It's all going into the big collective part.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a very hopeful.
Sugar-coated,
I mean, human nature. But maybe then the exploitation would come in the transport. It'd be more, rather than the kind of larger, foreign affairs, packaging, rather than being like, oh, this is foreign affairs, we're having to do these foreign affairs. It'd be more like the exploitation would come from the companies that are doing the transporting, the companies that are doing the packaging.
Yeah, monopolies would be
made. I don't reckon just because there aren't any countries anymore doesn't mean there's going to be people who are greedy and want to be at top.
Definitely, I think they'd take the form of the kind of monopolies. Yeah, like they'd have the cartels of, like how you've got the cartels for the chocolate industry.
Yeah.
The people in the west, east of Africa, all the farmers get exploited by like three or four shipping companies that have like this cartel. that then they regulate the prices and can exploit the farms. Even if the farmers are in really good conditions and having a great life, there's no way they can solve the problem of having these four massive companies or three massive companies exploiting
in charge of them.
That could potentially be the new thing, whereas although it's not the people being exploited at the mines,
it's just the same process changing form, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it depends on the gang you're in, doesn't it? I think that's where it lies at the end of the day.
It'd always be a nightmare trying to vote for somebody, because wherever you live in the world, you might say you live in, what, Tunisia, and all the candidates are from, like, Alaska or something. You just don't think that person can represent your interests at all.
Who would have thought? Having a small body of people govern the entire world and try and represent everyone equally.
How big
would
the government have to be? How would you dictate...
I guess it would be the UN. The UN, but a more effective UN, potentially.
Yeah, but would that be based on...
Probably less
effective. But then, even if it is the UN, the UN's based on countries, on land masses, so then if we're doing it like the UN, we'd be dividing the world up into specific sectors, which in itself is...
Yeah, but we still do that within countries, don't you? It's like we've got counties in America, you've got little state governments within a federal government. You'd have to have something.
There's
like
a natural order
for the entire world.
Yeah, you would have to, yeah.
Segregation.
I don't like the idea of it, because it then... and then creates these divides that I'm trying to steer away from.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah, it sounds lovely, but I think unless we start colonizing space, Earth is going to seem too big to keep under one bracket, isn't it?
Wait, let's make it a bit more light to finish off. Where would you want to be then? Would you be a nomad, or would you try? And if you could move
nomad,
so easily,
mate, nomad. I'd make it my desire. Yeah, which much so aligns with what I want to do now, and just go climb trees around the world.
Scroll climb big trees and look at the
Danny tree reviews.
I was trying to find a job today that was based on climbing trees for research purposes rather than just for being
cutting down. I was going to say you had that job.
I didn't know. I wasn't climbing.
Just looking at him.
Yeah, why don't you go back to Costa Rica?
Because I'm a poor man. I'm trying to set up that charity in it. So more on that off camera, but yeah.
I'd just island hop on a canal boat. That's my dream. I want a canal boat that can also ride in the sea and maybe fly. No, but I like the design.
So you want a narrow boat or a seaworthy one?
I'll go to Fiji for a bit.
Would you not want a semi-submergible narrow boat then? So you can
I'm down for it. I'll give it a go.
I'm just trying to think how you'd make it seaworthy without having to ride over the waves, which it wouldn't be able to do as a narrowboat.
Maybe you could have a canal boat with dinghies on either side,
you could do like, I guess like a banana boat style
and wings
stabilizers.
I mean,
and a cucumber projector.
In Polynesia, didn't they have those kind of boats back in the day? The kind of ones where they could island hop with those. Oh, no.
Yeah, true. Shout out those guys.
I mean, big ups to those guys.
It's fucking mental what they did. Like. To go and land on Hawaii from Australasia is mental. It's like slap bang in the middle of the Pacific, and they just did it on little boats.
Did they even know where they were going?
Star.
I don't know.
No, because no.
They must have been trying and error over hundreds of years.
Literally just had a go.
I don't know. That would be an interesting one.
Or just set off one day, and they're like, well.
Yeah, I guess you'd be amazing at star navigation, but there's also, if you're going into unknown territory, and like the Pacific Ocean, there's like literally just. Fuck all. There's just like 1%, less than 1% is landmass, little islands, so you could so easily not find anything. If you didn't bring enough fucking Doritos with you, like.
Right. Dead. Well, on the topic of Doritos.
the best segue we've ever had.
No, really, really, it's going to be the best segue. On the topic of food and Doritos, should we talk about my topic?
Yeah.
So yeah, my topic. What would it be if?
Sorry, man.
Bless you. Rewind. My topic is what could have been if permaculture and regenerative and sustainable farming was more commonplace in the world. So permaculture is the kind of idea of like using land and creating. Like kind of self-sustaining ecosystems which produce food so you can kind of live off the land, and it's a lot more of a kind of circular ecosystem and movement of energy within the actual land itself. So you grow bushes that have like fruits and nuts and trees, and then you can potentially throw some kind of livestock in there that help by eating pests and kind of fertilizing and kind of like, you know, eating invasive this and that. A lot of it is using indigenous crops and things like that that are natural to that environment. So you can kind of
harnessing the symbiosis of local nature.
There's a lot of YouTube channels out there that I've been watching over the last like 4 or 5 months. Stuff called The Weedy Garden or Hugh Richards or what's his name? This is old, lovely old man. Very relaxing videos. Oh, where's he gone?
Sounds hot.
Is this including like just urban greening as a whole?
Urban greening. The idea of guerrilla gardening, which is kind of taking...
Oh, we love
guerrilla gardening. I love a bit of guerrilla gardening, mate. Yeah, I reckon for the listeners at home, do you want to explain what guerrilla gardening is?
Oh, and in the most basic sense, it is just...
It's like Banksy gardening.
Yeah, Banksy, like taking like unused green areas or more often not brown areas in the kind of cities and...
Making them
like
green.
Kind of urban areas and making them green using like kind of seed bombs, using... Like you, the minimum you can do is to create seed bombs and throw them down.
It sounds like
you can maybe try and cultivate it yourself.
Nature graffiti.
Nature graffiti.
It's like these are in places where you're probably not allowed to do this, but you kind of sneak out and you'll just make. Yeah.
I'm gonna go rebel. I'm gonna go plant a load of flowers. You know.
Oh, I'd fucking love the culture behind that.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're sick. So this one because I've been researching it and like been really getting into it the last 6 months, and it just looks so. This whole idea of why aren't we making things greener? Why aren't we, rather than having, like, the idea of garden, although it looks nice, and it's a nice little private space, what is it? It's a piece of, it's not even, a lot of the time, not many flowers, just a big patch of grass.
Literally, just a big patch of grass, Pat.
There's no, you're not providing anything to pollinators, insects. Something so simple within the kind of, like, this kind of permaculture, sustainable stuff.
Why we got rid of fences rather than hedgerows? Sorry, man. I was just sort of feeding off what you're saying. There's no insects, no that. Rather than putting fences, or what happened to hedges? Why did we stop? Why did they?
Well, in the 70s and 80s, they paid loads of farmers to remove hedges, and then now they realised hedges were good, so now they're paying them again.
It's so dumb. Yeah, I guess the idea that you want to be able to get away from your neighbour as much as possible. Like it doesn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hedge is fucking really difficult to get through. A fence is a piece of piss to jump over.
Yeah, we've got to maintain
exactly more fences.
More. I'm all for hedges, but I'm just thinking where people would have come from.
Fences give the illusion of a more permanent, stable barrier.
Hedges are little fucking homes for insects and birds and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we're down.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing with you guys. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate, like.
I mean, I guess my dad's kind of taken one step in the right direction. He's planted a cherry tree in the front garden. So that's something. Like, that will be something. Like, he also.
Well, my parents have taken a step back and put fake grass down instead of normal.
Nice.
Yeah.
Me and my dad did a multi-species hedge last year.
Nice.
And every time, and as usual, every time I dig in the garden, it snows.
Yeah.
And we planted it in, like, May, I think, and it last snowed. Year, and it decided to snow.
And you're like, why?
So yeah, every time my dad wants to go skiing, he's asked me to dig the garden.
Yeah, son, do us a favour, will you?
What, is that? Yeah. Is that the old tractor hill?
Oh, yeah. Up Allen Head,
ski slope.
made it on national news not too long ago. Like,
that is pretty sick. We'll have to come. Yeah. We'll have to have... You can teach me. Come that straight. Can be my first skiing
lesson. How big's the hill, man?
You've been to the
hill? How big is it?
Oh no, how big is the hill? It's literally not.
Nah.
It would be maybe like skiing down a 4-story building.
Oh really?
It's just
a
hill is a light tip.
Okay.
Yeah. It's amazing.
No, I imagine it's great, yeah.
Yeah, who are the Alps like?
Fucking bullshit them. Yeah. Too big. Scary.
I reckon this urban greening, though, would also have massively positive effects on people's mental health. Like, they've done so many studies on, like, how much it can reduce... Like, even just having a green space outside your house can reduce stress, sleep disturbance, depression, increase creativity.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the amount of benefits are ridiculous.
Yeah. Not gonna lie, this topic, I kind of thought of it more just because I wanted to talk about permaculture. I was like, fuck, that's what I fucking talk about.
Yeah,
it's so good. Like, you could... Say down your street, you've got all these fruit trees. You can, when the season's right, you can just fucking apples, plums.
And I'm really invested in this, like, anachronistic graffiti based
Like the art form.
Yeah, people going around like putting vine leaves up, or like putting the it's like it's a really big investment. They're putting the seeds down, or the
most beautiful vandalism sort of ever. Man,
like, going to abandoned buildings, and rather than doing like,
yeah, and increase its value by.
Well, I don't know if you've heard of this. You might like this a lot. It's called solarpunk. I don't know if you've heard of that movement. Listeners out there as well, you can give it a little Google. That's kind of what you're talking about. The kind of idea of sustainable. Well, sustainable is kind of a word that sort of got a bit greenwashed. So kind of regenerative. You can't have a bad connotation to regenerative farming. But like the kind of, yeah, like you're saying, like the kind of punk aspect of it, of like, fuck this, let's go just fucking make everything beautiful.
Yeah.
So if you kind of want to get a bit more into that, yeah, Google or go on YouTube and watch solarpunk.
Oh, I definitely will. Like,
there's a guy called Saint Satanism. Oh, what's his name?
Satanism.
No, that's absolutely.
Shout out Lucifer.
Let me just get his name, because everyone, he's got a really good. He's from the Caribbean. He's from Trinidad. Saint Andrewism. His I forgot where he's from. He's from one of the Caribbean.
Saint Lucia.
Not Saint Lu. I know he's definitely not Saint Lucia.
Solarpunk looks pretty lit, to be honest.
Yeah, solarpunk. It's just this sick movement.
Do you want to know what the definition is on Wikipedia? Real quick, just for the listeners.
Yeah, give me the definition.
Solarpunk is a genre and art movement that envisions how the future might look if humanity succeeded in solving major contemporary challenges with an emphasis on sustainability, climate change, and pollution.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Yeah, baby. Yeah, it's fucking good. So yeah, this guy is Saint Andrewism. You'd like him. He's got a very relaxing voice.
It's got Singapore vibes.
The Google images. 100%.
So yeah, what would be your first trees and bushes? What fruits would you want to see first?
I'd want to see fruit trees everywhere.
Mm-hmm. What would you go for though? I.e., what's your favourite fruit from a tree? Pretty much, that's the question.
My favourite fruit from probably mango. But then
mango up north in Hexham. Mango trees.
Right, man, I'm sort of punk.
Oh, the best part about this is you'd get so many different variants of fruit. So like, if there was different trees everywhere, like the amount of range in apple trees is ridiculous.
The speciation
man, mate. Yeah, because like, are you saying like,
which is a cross pollination?
Getting a banana tree in fucking England, blasphemy. But like, you would have a species that would have been tempted to grow there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Or just, or like, we'd at least have the facilities to.
Yeah,
could have really interesting species grow, because just from my grandma grows, she's got billions of fuchsia plants, which is like a nice, beautiful flower for those who don't know.
Quote-unquote.
Billions. It's a huge garden.
Have you not seen it yet? It's the size of a football pitch, come on.
And you've billions of plants.
Just from her growing and every year, she's created new random kind of
species. Hybridized.
This and that. So using the same, like with a bunch of different trees here and there, you could have fucking apple trees that you're like, oh, what is this? Look at that.
It's a blue people apple. Do it as a hobby. People would specifically do it and be like, right, I want to make a pear and an apple combined. And like, people do it now. So like, it'd just be so much more widespread.
It'd just be widespread, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I think because using my biotech, I think potentially if there's a big enough market that could be genetically engineered, like mango trees that were genetically engineered to be able to survive the cold, so there could be all these fruits everywhere. Like, it could
There'd be so much more investment.
It could be
in
a mental world. There would be.
Well, so we're talking just, this. This is everywhere. I reckon we'd have like hobbit homes.
Well, or like in the spiral staircase skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Ooh. So that everyone gets enough sunlight to have a garden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they haven't done that already. There must be some architectural reason.
There is. Oh, the spiral staircase. Fire safety.
Yeah, but then
People could just jump down into people's gardens. Garden hopping would be so sick.
Not
I'm taking the outside stairs.
That's just Owen. Especially if you got your blue space hopper, that'd be sick.
Would you not think that? Yeah. And he's baking butty,
bouncing down the Burj Khalifa, eating mango.
But do you think there'd be a bigger sense of community because people would? They'd have these public green areas.
I think life would be a bit slower paced.
Mm-hmm. I think nature also creates community, doesn't it? Like, when you do activities outdoors, you kind of create these social situations, whereas when you exist within four walls, you create boundaries.
Because even now, like, something like the allotments.
Yeah.
If you go into the allotments, people were speaking this and that. So we've got a similar idea.
Or a park on a sunny day. Like, it just literally brings out this part of people that, well, it's what we evolved for, wasn't it? Being outdoors in green spaces.
Mingling, yeah.
Mingling with nature.
It's not even strictly mingling with nature, but we evolved to be part of a tribe, to be like our crucial developmental stage throughout evolution was the ability to communicate and live together. Like, we're not solitary animals at all, yet we choose to have our own room in our own house. It's like boxes on boxes. It's like,
put me in a box.
Isolate me, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Why don't we all just share? Wouldn't it be nice if, like, we all just, like, had the same bedroom? You know what I mean? Like, say we all lived together and we all just had a bedroom.
Oh, Danny, you've got such a good way with words.
We're going to get a bit slappy time.
We've got all the same bedroom.
Like, imagine we had, like, imagine if we had, like, just a little... If we had a really, like, one of these houses, the solar punk houses, but our bedroom was pretty much blackout in terms of, like, the windows and everything like that. So it was a place to go to sleep. We had, like... a little trickling waterfall over there, and it was a bit like emulating
a hammock,
emulating like a cave-esque system, but yeah, with hammocks everywhere. Like, so we were all, it felt like we were camping out together, you know what I mean? And it would just be a bit more of a communal vibes. And I always feel like when it's specifically in uni, when it was a big night out or anything like that, it was always the best to just get your mattress and fucking put it in your housemate's room and just like crash out and have a little sleepover, mate. It just makes you feel better. It's just it's a lot nicer than just being on your own. You know what I mean?
It very much is. Yeah, yeah. And I think I watched a very interesting video about the idea of how houses used to be laid out, kind of at the back of having a more communal spaces in the home. We didn't used to have kind of isolated bedrooms and this and that. There used to be kind of the way you'd get to whatever room is there would be a walkthrough.
Yeah.
The idea that like these spaces weren't isolated in the house, like 300 years ago, 400 years ago, you'd have to walk through X, Y, and Z, like this person's bedroom.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, like having this kind of maybe more open plan.
Yeah.
In tune with nature.
And I think that even extends to nature itself, in that the way you design a city would not be such an abrupt difference between city and rural. Like in Copenhagen, they designed it. It's called like the five finger plan. And basically, the city is built around, if you just draw around your hand, that's where they're allowed to have urban developments. And then they have all these green connective spaces between the fingers and stuff. So I think the kind of the boundaries between nature and urban areas would just be completely blurred.
Definitely. That'd be sick. Well, even if it didn't have to be potentially cultivated in the terms of food, like there could still be open field, like parks where, rather than it being cut grass, it was more just like a prairie where there was more natural flowers for insects. Yeah, things like that, and meadows.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'd actually love to live. Can we move there, guys?
Yeah, we've created quite a nice world. I love this. Potentially. Shall we wrap it up on that nice little...
We can talk about this a bit more. I'm kind of liking the...
Well, shall we talk it? Shall we wrap it all up and talk about it
in the three-way
context of the three-way? Because this is quite a nice three-way. Well, potentially.
I don't know, because I feel like it's going to just taint the nice little world we've created with this, with your question. Well, I don't really want to do it yet because I know that things are going to go wrong.
See why I wanted to talk about this though? Because like just researching it, I was like, this is just such a nice, better.
It just makes me feel nice. And it's also so doable in the way that it's not like this huge hypothetical. It's like we have the means to do it and people can.
And that's the beauty about guerrilla gardening, isn't it?
Yeah.
The beauty about
everyone go outside and sneakily plant a tree somewhere you're not allowed to.
Literally, mate, go to your local park and shiver seed in the floor. Not that, you know what I mean? You'd be laughing.
Yeah, just that's what I mean. The bare minimum was like the kind of idea that I've seen a lot. It's just, get some clay, get five or six local, indigenous plant seeds. And just
sort of
loving
them.
just fucking throw them. Yeah, have people.
No, honestly, mate, you start doing it in people's gardens and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's about our front garden. We don't cut our grass when the flowers are out. We just kind of let it grow a bit wild.
Yeah.
Mate, honestly, I don't understand my garden. It's so dumb. We've got a slither of soil around the outside where we planted some wildflowers. And then, like, they're just either some of them aren't getting sunlight because it's directly next to a fence or, like, they're just like too compact because there's not enough room to grow. Like, if only we had this huge space of grass to grow things on.
Maybe you should till the soil.
It's just fake grass in the middle, isn't it? It's just like, I can
only
do so much, man.
I definitely, I think there is a bit of a, I don't know if it's just who we're exposed to, well, our kind of people we're exposed to on Insta and stuff like that and social media for our generation, but there seems to be a massive movement of kind of houseplant.
Yeah, there does seem to be moving, in at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, so that's kind of a certain aspect of it.
With being, not being outdoors.
Yeah, but I mean, in a good way, I suppose. Yeah. Like, people are thinking more green and thinking more plants and stuff.
I think it's becoming more widespread, the benefits of these green spaces.
Yeah.
Like, what? I can't remember the name of this theory. Was it attention restoration theory or something? They did this research, and basically, if you have green spaces outside your urban area, basically, you won't hear noises as loudly. And you won't like perceive anxiety as much. It kind of dampens all these things because you have external stimuli other than your own inner monologue. So it kind of like alleviates your attention tiredness.
More thing, something as simple as like hearing some birds chirp.
Yeah. It basically allows your mind to disperse and not get fatigued.
Nice.
So it can just let you focus on things and be present more.
That is nice. Because that's what I mean. Like, I live in quite a nice leafy suburb, so I've still got kind of a nice amount of greenery. But when we were living in Hyde Park, say, we all lived there. Yeah. Fucking hell, there's not a drop of greenery really.
Yeah. Like, I saw somebody advertising that they had a lawnmower for people to use on the student page, and I was like, there's nowhere to fucking mow, lad.
Yeah, who's mowing? Like your main tarmac, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, sorry, my tarmac, it's a bit bumpy. Can you sand it down, please?
Yeah, sand it. Yeah, you need a sander, lad.
Yeah, to be fair, that'd be really cool. Give it a bit of a power wash and sanding down all the high parts. Probably spruce it up a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. What, power wash all the graffiti?
No, I keep the graffiti,
power wash it and get, like, can we actually have some good graffiti?
Rather than these shitty little tags. Like, students running around.
Some gorilla graffiti.
Terrible stuff.
Yeah, someone just, like, fucking scribbling... Fucking fart.
Yeah.
Poo.
Poopy fart.
I will say one of the funniest things that happened at the end of kind of living in Leeds. I won't name names, but one of my friends is a girl, and my friend is a guy, decided to sabotage a house. It was their own house, with white paint and write "Poo is life" all over the back wall outside, and then waking up and being like, "You did what?" It was poo's always funny. Writing poo on something is very funny.
Poo toilet humour is timeless, man.
it was great.
We all do it.
Yeah, exactly.
We can all relate to pooing.
Can, mate. Even the floopy floppy waffle.
You've probably offended a very niche market there. Probably a handful of people that are like...
People who can't poo.
People that are, yeah.
Well, like colostomy bags.
Sorry, we all excrete. Is that better?
Yeah, no. I was just...
We all pass.
We all
waste.
Remove waste, or you wouldn't survive.
We all have ablutions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Danny sounds mad. Like,
fuck you.
Danny's one of these few people.
I haven't got a bumhole.
Yeah, my butt just keeps getting bigger. It's like a sack full of shit.
I'm not here today. I'm just tired.
I'm a sack full of shit.
I'm fucking full of shit, mate.
Right, well,
you're full of shit.
No, mate. Don't know what you're on about. It's not like we do a podcast where we talk shit.
No, we don't, mate. We make loads of sense.
We man.
We do. Well, shall we make less sense and combine it? So potentially, this has the potential to be a beautiful big.
So potentially, it's got the potential.
Potentially, it's got the potential to potential.
Yeah, this could be a place where we all live for hundreds of years in one happy nation.
Mate, to be fair.
Yeah, we all focus on making green spaces sustainable and full of plants.
Yeah, there's
and
no countries, man. Everyone's just growing their things.
It's a big green world.
Yeah, man.
And the way we could purchase more life is just by trading fucking goods and plants, like any specific fruit we've managed to grow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have, rather than having these mass farms, we kind of have a few cattle here and there on the farms, eating and excreting.
Like, I think people...
Eating excreting on the street. And...
I think people would be stoned quite a lot, because if people are growing all this stuff, I think marijuana would be something that would be grown.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I don't think people would smoke more weed necessarily.
I don't think they'd necessarily smoke more weed. I think it'd be a lot more socially acceptable, but I think it'd be cooked into a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I think it just because based on the guerrilla garden and the permaculture, if it was more prevalent in the modern world, I just feel like people would be more dietary focused, especially if we're combining these worlds and people can purchase more life and there was a more of a development in CRISPR and all this technology to be able to genetically adapt to ourselves. The offset of science is accidentally making discoveries that you can use in a completely different environment. So I feel like when we're trying to manipulate the genetic code of ourselves, we'd be doing a lot of that in terms of plant biology as well, because we'd have these developments that were like, ooh, well, can I grow that tomato like three times as big? And like we'd start.
Yeah, I mean, we already did.
Well, that's
that,
what I mean. We're already doing that now.
Or maybe like having hybrid, a tree that can grow four fruits.
We could do that now as well.
And stuff like that, yeah.
Or trees that grow in the shape of houses.
Oh,
that's what I mean. All of this stuff.
Living house.
Because what's that? Is it the Hox9 gene in flies, which is, or well, in quite a lot of animals, where it dictates where organs grow? So like, there's
where the wings grow.
There is a Hox.
Yeah, it's a Hox gene. So like, you can, there's the eye and it's like a Hox gene that says it where to grow the wing, but like you can replace certain genetic code so it grow another eye on its back or something like that.
Yeah. Make it into a
if we did too. That, but with plants like you said, they wouldn't be, well, we would not be far off being able to, I don't know how we genetically code the structure of a plant or like the structure of a house turning into a plant turning into a house. I'm not really sure of the genetic code or if that was...
But we got fucking loads of time to do it because we're all purchasing more life.
Literally, we've got so much more life in us. We've probably eaten really healthy. One country, so there's no...
Probably wouldn't get wrinkly as quick.
Probably less barriers, man, across all fronts.
Yeah, I'm thinking, potentially, people would be growing, living longer, so there would be more of a, oh, fuck, actually, I can live for two centuries. Mm-hmm. So I will actually see the effect of what the fuck I'm doing
now. I feel like it'd be a lot...
We'll have to stop polluting.
I feel like we'd be a lot... I don't think we'd eat meat all that much at all.
No, it'd be more of a luxury and more of a... Yeah. Ooh, we'll have it...
Unless we're eating our relatives to steal their life force, but, you know...
Yeah. But that'd be culturally acceptable.
Yeah, that'd
be eating humans rather than animals.
Rather
than having... Killing Betsy the cow.
Is it strictly humans you could take life force from or years from?
Oh, so you're going the opposite direction. You're saying they would just have mass.
Livestock.
I'm not saying we would. I wasn't even going to go down that route. I was going to be like, if...
Just eating baby chickens.
I was actually going to say, if we planted a tree, or we turned fucking Geraldine, who's down at the ripe old age of 69... and we put her ashes as the fertilizer for a tree. Can that tree seep the years out of the ashes?
Well, like, it does.
I was just trying to think of
it. Yeah, but to a more accelerated. So could you say like super fertilizer? So say you could, if you were a super.
This fertilizer's from humans. This fertilizer's from babies. Yeah. They've got most years available.
But say you were out super altruistic and you were like, well, let me just purchase an extra 100 years and then just jump into a forest and kill myself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that 100 years you've just purchased could then just be like into that. So you could use yourself to say
100 little bits of grass 1 year rather than like
one piece of grass 1,000.
Yeah,
one. so there's a really unfertile bit of forest you could potentially.
Yeah, just go. Just
get someone to sprinkle you around.
Just go commit mass murder there, and then there'll be loads of life.
Fucking hell! Green genocide.
We're doing it for the flowers. Into a different town. It's humane for the forest.
Yeah, remember, this is really good. So I'm like brainwashing cults, but like they're sort of doing it for the betterment. So it's a bit of a. It's
still that makes it right?
yeah, it makes it good. Oh, what an interesting...
I couldn't leave it and let it be all happy, you know? I didn't want it.
But I still do. I still feel like I like this world a lot more than
this. Have we got any Yule Lads walking around in this world?
I thought my Yule Lad would be quite funny.
Go on.
It was mostly focused on the permaculture, but say your watering can or your hose, they just poke holes in it. We're called Pokey. So you go to like, oh, I need to go water trees out on the street, and then... You start filling up your watering can, or you pull out your hose, and it's just spurting water everywhere.
Or he's add loads of fake ends to your watering can. You don't know which one's the real one at first.
Yeah, just really interesting.
You're gonna pour it.
Like a watering can.
What's his name?
Pokey.
Pokey.
I have the seed scranner. So when you were going around trying to like make all these seed bombs or whatever, there'd be just a you lad that goes around and eats all the seeds you've been throwing about.
No.
Well, I reckon I'll have fucking Bonsai Bob, the god. And he turns litter into little bonsai trees. And he's also a gorilla. He's like a little gorilla.
That's quite good though.
That's not an inconvenience at all.
Well, litter litterers. Probably be really annoyed. You're like, hang on, I planted a fucking Lucasadia last night. Bonsai tree now. Wow, bonsai bomb.
Bonsai bomb.
That's Bobby.
So though, it could be, if a bonsai tree's growing in your bloody front room, you might not want
that. He does it to litter that's not actually been littered yet. As you're drinking your Powerade, it's just, fucking bonsai bomb.
You just do a whole load of shopping and you turn around and it's just a load of bonsai.
Do it to the food in your belly.
Yeah, well, if you're eating tinfoil, then potentially.
Fuck off. That would be better for me, actually. I'd rather be chewing on a bonsai.
Oh, mate. I'm never going to feed you tinfoil, but as if you've got an irrational fear of tinfoil. Have I?
Actually, I think it's quite rational.
I don't know if it is.
It is in my head.
Well, yeah, of course.
It's incredibly
rational. If I eat this tinfoil, it's going to be a shit time.
It's more like, really logical. It's like, if I go near that, I'm going to feel awful.
It's more like when you were like, if I see tinfoil, I just imagine putting it in my mouth and then metal scrapey sounds.
I'm better now. Like, I can wrap my sandwiches in it now. I just don't fanny on with it.
I get it. I totally get it. I used to be the same with tomato sauce like, when I was younger.
It just made me angry.
I didn't like the touch of it. I couldn't do it. Even when I started doing some chefing, someone was like, can you fill the tomato like tube up? I was like, nah.
Can you go die?
I was like, nah, can I fuck? I'd rather like, do something else, mate. I'd rather not do it.
Can I go pull wheelies in the car park, man?
Yeah, I'm not doing that, mate.
I have a similar thing with like condiments on a plate, like putting that away. Like if I touch condiments on like an old plate that I need to clean up or something.
The thing is though,
like you're eating a scran and like you've got a bowl or a plate with like little bits of food on it. You're willingly putting it in your mouth, but you go to put it in the dishwasher or go to wash it and everyone's like, I can't touch that. Cold food. You're about to eat it.
Well, yeah, generally because the food's been there for maybe like 4 or 5 hours rather than half an hour after you've eaten.
Yeah, but even so, you were about to eat that, you're about to put that inside your body, and now all of a sudden, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it's very normal, like, I've done it before, I still do it every now and again, like, I've got to touch food that's at the bottom of the sink, that's just been there for a while, like,
yeah, it's been there for, like, fucking,
sorry, it's slimy and green, and I'm like, that onion's now soggy, fucking onions. Swollen,
translucent,
don't want any of that,
swollen, soggy mess,
get out of my life. How do we get here? We talk about tinfoil.
It's so nice, like bonsai bar.
Well, shall we wrap up this green?
Should we probably wrap it up in like banana leaves? Prosperous or something, life. Something nice and sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like a little banana leaf. Maybe.
Definitely not tinfoil.
What seaweed? Wrap it up in seaweed. Yeah, not tinfoil.
Aloe vera.
Ooh, a bit of aloe vera. Well, yeah. It's all wrapped up in a nice green little parcel.
Chuck it.
Well, I've not been Owen.
And I've not been Bonsai Bob.
Yeah.
Right.
Chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
Who's chef?
Today. Chief.
Chef kids.
Cheers, kids. Bye. Bye. Oh, that's fine.
Bye. Sayonara. What could help me? I'm up a run now.
Fuck off.